Today's daf is Yuma daf Mem Hey. We left off on the bottom of daf Mem Dalid Amud Beis. We're going to begin the daf with a discussion of the different types of gold, because the Mishnah had said that the gold that the shovel was made from on Yom HaKippurim was a different type of gold than it was made from throughout the rest of the year. So we're going to discuss how many types of gold there are. Then the Gemara is going to continue to go through each line of the Mishnah where it differentiates between things that were done on Yom Kippur and things that were done the rest of the year, including the fact that the Ketores is Daka Min HaDaka as opposed to just plain Daka, why the Kohen Gadol would go up a different part of the Mizbeach than he would go up throughout the rest of the year, why the Kohen Gadol washes with a special pitcher on Yom HaKippurim rather than just using the kiyor like he would the rest of the year. And the majority of the daf is going to discuss the sources and the purposes of the various fires on the Mizbeach. We have different shitos in the Mishnah of how many fires were typically on the Mizbeach throughout the rest of the year. 2, 3, or 4, and everyone agrees that there was an added one for Yom Kippur. So what's the purpose of each of the regular fires, and what's the purpose of the extra fire on Yom Kippur? That is the majority of the daf. On Amud Beis, the Gemara is just going to mention the source that we know that we take fire for the Ketores of Yom Kippur, Lefnai V'Lefnim, and the fire for lighting the menorah from on top of the Mizbeach. How do we know that that fire has to originate on top of the Mizbeach? So again, let's pick up from Mem Dalet Amud Beis, 5 lines from the bottom of the page. B'chol yom ha'yizahava yarok. So we said every other day of the year, the gold that the shovel was made of was a greenish gold, or a yellowish gold. Yarok usually actually in the Gemara means yellow. Yarok kikarti means green. When the Gemara wants to describe a green esrog, when the Tanaim want to describe a green esrog, they say yarok kikarti. That's why when we describe the Maseches Nida, we describe the color of different types of dam that a woman might see. Described dam yarok probably doesn't mean green, it means a yellowish discharge rather than a green one. So anyway, so Zahava Yarok, that was throughout the rest of the year, but on Yom Kippur it was a reddish gold. So Amar Chista Shiva Zahavim Hein. How many types of gold are there? There are 7 types of gold in total. There is Zahav, Vizahav Tov, Vizahav Ophir, Vizahav Mofaz, Vizahav Shachut, Vizahav Sagur, Vizahav Parvin. Those are the 7 types of gold. How do I know that all these types of gold exist? Zav, Zav Tov, Dixiv, Zav Har, Zahu Tov. The fact that there's Zahav and Zav Tov is because the Pasuk says that the gold of that land is Tov. That implies that there is a kind of gold that is Tov and there is a kind of gold that's not Tov. So that teaches us the first two types. Zav Ophir, Da Asime Ophir. Zav Ophir comes from Ophir. Zav Mofaz, Shedoma Lepaz, that it's similar to pearls. It shines like pearls. Zav Shachut Shenitva Kuchut, that it is it's soft like a string. Zav Sagur B'Shah Shenitach Kol Chanuyos Niskaros. Zav Sagur is called closed gold because it is so special that any time that gold is available, any other stores that are selling any other type of gold might as well close their doors because no one's going to be interested in the gold that they have, because this gold is so special. Zav Parvim, Shedoma Ledama Parim. Zav Parvim is called Zav Parvim because it's similar to the blood of a cow or the blood of a bull. So that's why it's called Zav Parvin. The Gvuras Ari, the Shagas Ari, the Sefer Gvuras Ari explains, it just points out that the Gemara doesn't explain the reason why they would make the shovel on Yom Kippur from this Zav Parvin, from this red gold. So it tells us where we get the idea that there is red gold, that it's Doma L'Dam HaParim, that it's similar to the Dam HaParim. But why? Why in Yom Kippur would we dafka make the shovel out of a gold that's Doma L'Dam HaParim? So he explains that Rav Chista is counting out the 7 types of gold in order, zel malamizeh, the fact that he includes Zav Parvim at the end, that's the last one on the list, tells us that it's the most chashav of all of them. So that's the Zav Edom that it says in the Mishnah. Why do we use that in Yom Kippur? Because this is the gold that we're going to go, lefnai v'lefnim, so it has to be done with the most chashav of gold possible. So we pick the most chashav of all the 7 types of gold. That's one explanation that Shagas Aryeh gives. Second explanation he says is that they dafka made it on Yom Kippur out of the reddish gold because it's domed l'dam haparim, and they use that for the k'taris b'fnim, because what else do they bring b'fnim? They also bring the dam hapar b'fnim, so they want the different things that they bring b'fnim to be as similar to each other as possible. So it's made from the type of gold that is domed l'dam haparim. And the Sefer Siach Yitzchak, he just points out that the Gemara brings this memor of Rav Chista because from this memor of Rav Chista we see that the Zav Parvim is not the best quality gold. Against what the Shagasari originally said, he said, what impression do you get? Which one is the highest quality gold? Very clearly, when you read his explanations, the Zahav Sagur seems to be the highest quality gold. That's the gold that when they sell, all of the other stores close because it's the best quality. So you see that must be the best quality of the highest quality gold. So you have to say that the reason Rabbi Menachem in our Mishnah said that they would make the shovel of Yom Kippurim dafka from Zav Parvim is not because it is such high quality, but rather because it's similar to the Dam Parim. Why do we want something similar to the Dam Parim? So he says because Zahav in general is a kategor, and generally speaking, we try to avoid it. With the whole reason the Kohen Gadol doesn't wear big days of lefnayv lefnim is in kategor nasa sanegor. We don't want we don't want to bring up the bad memory of the egel hazahav when we are trying to achieve kapara lefnayv lefnim. So we want to avoid something that is zahav because that's going to be a kategor. So what do? We show that we're bringing Dama Parim to be mechaper for the egel. So since it's Dama Parim, it's mechaper for the egel, that compensates for the fact that it also happens to be zahav. Very difficult to understand. One would think, no, just the opposite. Parim themselves are also a kategor, meaning because it was an egel hazahav. So the fact that it's parim does not help us at all. In fact, Rashi in his Perush on Chumash in Bamidbar Parak Yutas Paschav Bei says that the avodas paraduma was not done by Aaron HaKohen; it was done by Elazar HaKohen because Aaron made the egel and ain kategor nasas an egel. The para in general, just the idea that there's a para, is itself a kategor. So the Maral in the Gur Aryeh says, but wait a second, there's the svara of in kategor nasas negar. Maral is bothered by how it could apply to paraduma because that only applies to avoda bifnim. That's the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara raises the question of in kategor nasas negar when it talks about what type of horn to use for a shofar. So it says, why not the shofar of a para? Why not use a cow's horns? So the Gemara says because of ein kategor nasas negar, but the Gemara says the ein kategor nasas negar only applies lefnai v'lefnim. The Gemara says no, shofar is kilefnim dummy. It's ki'ilu, it's lefnai v'lefnim. Whatever that means, but the yesod of that Gemara is that it only applies lefnai v'lefnim. So it is a little bit strange to apply it to para aduma, the Maral points out. But either way, it seems that as a general rule over here, where we are talking about lefnai v'lefnim, this shovel is going lefnai v'lefnim to dafka bring something that reminds us of the dam. Maparim seems to be a little bit odd. The Maral explains that in kategor nasa senegar is only on. I think the Maral explains that it's only on begadim. Someone says that it's only on begadim, and that's why we're not worried about, meaning the general question, why would we bring gold if we don't allow the Kohen Gadol to wear his big days of? How could we possibly bring gold, the Fnai V'lefnim? So maybe that's only a din in the begadim that a person is wearing. It's not a din in general of not bringing things, Lefnai V'lefnim, that are made out of gold. Because after all, everything that was there, Lefnai V'lefnim, the Aron was made out of gold. So the fact that there is gold there shouldn't be a shock to us. Maybe it's just a din in the begadim that are on the person. The Gemara then quotes a different shita. So far we just had Rav Chista's opinion that there are seven types of gold. Rav Ashi Amar Chamisha Hein. No, there aren't seven types of gold. There are five types of gold. V'kol chad v'chad ispei zahav v'zahav tov. What are the five types of gold? The same as the last five that Rav Chista mentioned. Zahav and zahav tov are not separate categories of gold. Those are subcategories within each of the five types of gold. There's higher quality and lower quality within each of the five types that we mentioned. Tani nami hachi b'kol yom hayazav yarok v'yom edom v'ainu zav parvim shadom l'dam parvim. And the Braisa also supports the idea that zav parvim is called zav parvim because it's similar to the dam parvim, because the Braisa also says that explicitly. That's the Tani nami hachi. It's not going on Ravashi limiting it to five types. The Braisa is just coming to support the idea that the reddish gold that we're talking about is the zav parvim. Rav Zilberstein Chashuk Echemed raises the question. We have a machlokas over here, whether there are seven types of gold or five types of gold. If you ask people who deal in gold and know metals, you will find many more than five or seven types of gold. There are lots of types of gold. There's many, many different shades. It's a continuum. It's not it's not clear where you draw lines. So l'may nafka mina, whether you draw only five distinctions, or you draw seven distinctions in types of gold. So he collects four potential nafkaminas in terms of how many types of gold there are. One nafkamina, he says, is let's say Reuven pays Shimon a large amount of money, and he says to him, "I want to buy from you for a shul or for whatever, one of each type of gold." So that was the deal. The contract is that he's getting one of each type of gold. I'm buying seven goblets, he doesn't say how many. I'm buying a number of goblets for the shul or for myself or for my collection. I want one of each type of gold. So legabe hilchos mekach umemkar. What does he have to provide him with? Does he have to provide him with five goblets or seven goblets? So that's one nafkamina. Another nafkamina might be by moda b'miktsas. Generally speaking, the halacha by moda b'miktsas is you only chayev shvua. What's moda b'miktsas? I tell you owe me $100, you say, "No, I only owe you $50. So you're Modav Mixas. Modav Mixas Atayin is Chayiv Shvua Midaraisa. So you're Chayiv to take a Shvua that you don't owe any more than you say that you owe. However, let's say I say that you owe me, you borrowed a chair from me. That was a very expensive chair. It was a $10,000 chair, let's say. And you say, "No, I borrowed your lawnmower. I didn't borrow your chair, so I owe you a lawnmower." So that's not considered moda b'miktsas, even though the lawnmower, I never heard of a $10,000 chair, but a chair is sitting opposite from me, so that's what I thought of. But okay, so anyway, so I got to ask Belsky about that. So that's not called moda b'miktsas. Why is that not called moda b'miktsas? Because it's not mimin hataina. You're not being molded to the same thing that I asked for. So let's say Shimon's Reuven says, "Shimon, mea klei zahav Ophir, Geish Libiyadcha. You owe me a whole bunch of Kalim of Zav Ophir." And Shimon says, "No, Klei Zav Mufaz that I owe you, or some other type of Klei Zav." So is that considered Mimin Hataina? So probably not, if we draw a distinction between them. So maybe that would be the same din, that would be enough Kamin with how many types of Zahav there are. Another nafkamina might be in regards to mekach tolos. If you ask for zav ofir and he gives you zav mofas, so Reuven katayna that it's a mekach tolos. So that's meaning, even though the Ramah writes in Chosha Mishpas and Reish Lam and Gimel, if someone sells kesef b'cheskas tsaruf, and then it turns out that it's not saruf, it's not completely purified silver, it's not considered a mekach tolos because it's all min kesef, but maybe zav and zav tov are totally different in categories, meaning, and that's exactly what the Amorayim are describing over here, that it's not just more purified, less purified, these are entirely different categories of gold. And then the fourth, perhaps the most creative nafkamina, he suggests, is legabe bitl berov. Rabbi Yehuda holds in Maseches Yevamos and elsewhere in Shas and Daf Pei Beis Amud Aleph in Yevamos that min bimino is eno batel. That when you have two things of like kinds, they're not batel one in the other. So and Rashi and Chulin Paskin is like Rabbi Yehuda. So if you have two types of gold, one of Hegdish and one of Chulin, that are mixed with each other, so is the Hegdish batel in the Chulin? So would it be called min bimino or min b'sheino mino? It depends how you categorize the different types of gold that you might have. So those are four possible nafkaminas of Zilberstein collects as to why we have four different types of gold over here. Okay, says the Gemara further. Now, b'chol yom makriv pras b'shachris, every single day they would bring a pras b'shachris, pras b'en arbayim of ketores, and then in Yom Kippur they would have an extra ketores that would go lefnei v'lefnim. B'chol yom hayisad daka, v'ayom daka min adaka. Every other day the ketores was daka, and Yom HaKippur was daka min adaka. Someone said to me the other day, "What do you mean? We say every single day in the Karbanos, v'shachach and yafi yafi ketesh day daka min adaka." And we say that every single day, but I wasn't thinking, but when you look at the previous line, what does it say in the previous line? It says that umachzir l'machteshes be'erev yom ha-kippurim b'shachach and yafi yafi kadesh daka min adaka. That when do we make it daka min adaka? Dafka on erev yom kippur, because the ketores of yom kippur has to be daka min adaka. The rest of the year it's only daka, so it's on yom kippur that it's daka min adaka. So Tanu Rabbanan daka matamud lomar v'alo kvar nemar v'shachachtim mimena hadek. Why does it have to say daka? It already says v'shachachtim mimena hadek, so we know it has to be daka already. Elo lahavi daka min adaka. So it must be that it's teaching us that it has to be not just daka, but it has to be daka min adaka. It has to be ground extra fine. Briska Rav writes that the din of daka min adaka, this din that it has to be daka min adaka, is not because there's a shear of dakus that it requires, that it has to be
ground to a certain shear, like there's a certain a certain fineness that it has to reach, certain size that it has to reach. Rather, it's a din in the shchika. There's a din in doing a double grinding. It's a din in the maisa of the grinding, not a din in the cheftza of what actually of just how finely it actually is produced. So some of the achronim just point out that in Maseches Krisos it says that they would grind up the ketores many times, and it says b'chol yom ha'sadaka v'yom daka min adaka. So you see that even if it's done many times, it's still not called daka min adaka until it's ground to a certain shear. Sounds like daka min adaka from the Gemara in Krisos Davav, which is what we quote in the Karbanos each and every day. Krisos Davav. It sounds like there is an actual shear of daka min adaka. And besides, it says v'shoch in yafa k'deisha tehei. Daka min adaka. What does it say in the Karbanos we say every day? We're shoch and yafa yafa kedesha tehei daka min adaka. That the goal of grinding it again is so that it should be daka min adaka. So it's a little bit difficult to say that it's not a din in the chefza, that it's only a din in the maisa of an extra shchika. So that's a little bit hard. So that's a difficult. I don't think Briskarov wrote that. I think they quoted from the Briskarov Piyah Shmua. But anyway, so that's what they say. The Sfasem raises the question that by kachim, in order for anything to be ma'akev, it has to say it twice. So if that's the case, when over here, what's the Gemara's whole question? It already says that it has to be hadeik, so why does it have to say again, daka, right? It already says shechakni men hadeik, so maybe it's just to tell me la'akev, then without that, we would have thought that daka is only the mitzvah. So it says it twice to tell me that it has to be daka, la'akev, or maybe that daka b'kol hashana is only the mitzvah, and in Yom Kippur it's la'akev, because the second time it says daka, that's in regards to Yom Kippur. How do we know it includes daka min adaka? Maybe that's what it's telling me, is that it's ma'akev. So he says, maybe there's some other pasuk that teaches me li'ikuva. He doesn't know. He says, it's got to be that there's some other pasuk. The Egle Tal says differently, though. The Egle Tal says that the makar of daka min adaka being ma'akev is from the fact that by Maisa Yom HaKippurim, the Torah calls it a chukah, and chukah is ma'akev. Chukah makes something ma'akev in the entire parsha. So says the Egle Tal, the fact that it's ma'akev makes it a maisa chashuv, makes that second grinding a significant grinding. What do we say in the Korbanos every day? That on Erev Yom HaKippurim, Machzir al-Machtesh is be'erev Yom HaKippurim to make it Daka min Adaka. Why Erev Yom HaKippurim? Why don't we do it on Yom Kippur itself? The reason we don't do it in Yom Kippur itself is because it's a violation of the malacha of Tochein. You're not allowed to grind things in Yom Kippur. But wait, this is machzir on the machteshes. It's already ground. Ain't Tochein achar Tochein. You can't grind something that's already ground. It's not a violation of Tochein to grind something that's already ground up. So why is it that we do it only on Erev Yom Kippur, not in Yom Kippur itself? Says the Egle Tal, that's exactly the point. That since it says chukah, that this is ma'akev, that tells you that on Yom Kippur, regrinding is a chashuv ma'isa. Normally, ein tochein achar tochein, something's already ground. Grinding it up any further is not considered something significant. But on Yom Kippur, it is significant because we need it dafka to be its ma'akev for the ketores of Yom Kippur. And that's why it's a violation of tochein. That's why we have to dafka do it on Erev Yom HaKippurim. V'chol yom kohanim olim b'mizrachu shel kevesh. Every day throughout the rest of the year, the kohen would go up the eastern side of the ramp. But on Yom Kippur, you go up right in the middle. The Amar Mar, called Pino Shatapon, lo yuel derech yimin lemizrach. The reason on every other day he would go up on the eastern side of the ramp is because wherever he turns, he's always supposed to turn toward the right side, so that positions him best in terms of turning toward the right. That's why he goes up on the eastern side of the ramp. Vayom olim be'emtza v'yordin be'emtza. But on this day, on Yom Kippur, he goes up in the middle of the ramp and goes down in the middle of the ramp. There's a girsa issue over here. Our girsa printed in the Gemara is Olin, they go up Be'emtza. On the side it changes it to Ola, he goes up Be'emtza. Sounds from the Mishnah that it's only the Kohen Gadol. Tos Yishanim points out Kohen Rosh Beis Av Usagan Sha'olin Im Kohen Gadol, that maybe the gear says Olin. Who's Olin? It's a Kohen Gadol and his entourage, the Rosh Beis Av and the Sagan, who go together with him. Or maybe Shar Kohanim L'Sayel L'Hapech B'Tzinoro Shum Tzorech. Maybe he has other people that come and help him out. But so he has a whole entourage of people. So wherever he goes, they go. Maybe that's why it says Olin as opposed to Ola. That's the suggestion of Tos Yishanim. It's interesting. The Rambam in Hilchos Yom Kippur in Perek Beis Halacha Hey writes that B'chol Yom Hayu Hakohanim Olim B'Mizrachu Shel Kevesh V'Yom Olim B'Emtza V'Yordim B'Emtza L'Fnei Kohen Gadol K'dei L'Hadro. He says that that the Rambam says it's a din in all Kohanim, that all Kohanim the rest of the year go up on the eastern side of the Mizbech. On Yom HaKippurim, the Kohanim in general go in the middle. And the Lech HaMishnah explains that the Rambam must have had this gear of Olin, and that's why he relates it to all of the Kohanim. But why the difference? Meaning, why Dafka in the middle on Yom Kippur? So my time, Mishum Kvodo de Kohen Gadol. It's to show the covet of the Kohen Gadol, that he can walk around extra in the Beis HaMikdash, as Rashi points out, shows his chashivos, that he's like a Ben Bayis, that he can just wander around in the, take extra steps in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, how's the Rambam going to read that if it's talking about all the other Kohanim as well? So that's why the Rambam Dafka adds those words. He says, Lifnei Kohen Gadol. All the other Kohanim go, Lifnei Kohen Gadol, Be'emtza Kidei Lahadro. So he understands Mishum Kvodo as not the fact that he's wandering around, it's that for him, it's the fact that he's wandering around, but others have to go where he goes in order to be Mahadar him, in order to show him the proper respect. What you also see from here, though, is that unless you are the Kohen Gadol, wandering around is considered a chutzpah. For someone to be wandering around in a makom kadosh is not considered to be a respectful thing to do. Rav Shachter often points that out in terms of kedushas beis haknesses, that a person has to honor a shul. So sometimes you have people in davening that just they like to wander during davening. They like to go up to this guy's seat, that guy's seat. They just like to walk around during davening. So that's a very disrespectful thing to do in beis haknesses, unless you hold yourself to be the kohen gadol. Okay, so some people. B'chol yom kohen gadol mekadesh yadav v'raglav min hakiyar. Every day the Kohen Gadol would wash his hands from the Kiyar. Other time, but on Yom Kippur he would only wash from a Kiton. So he would wash from a special pitcher. So my time, Mishum Kvodo Shel Kohen Gadol. Again, this is also an issue of the cover of the Kohen Gadol, that he would dafka wash from a pitcher and not from the kira. In the Yerushalmi, there's a machlok samuraim if the kiddush rishon that the Kohen Gadol did on Yom Kippur was also from a kiton shel zav, or that maybe was done dafka from the kira. It's also machlok rishon. Rashi says the kiddush rishon was from the kira, not from a kiton shel zav. The Rush and the Meiri disagree. They say that even the kiddush rishon was done from a kiton shel zav. So the Rav Yochum Fishel Perlau in his Sefer HaMitzvos LeRasag, in his commentary on the Rasag, from mitzvahs chel gimel, suggests that this machlokas is tali in a machlokas rishonim, if there's a mitzvah lechachila to be mekadish min akir dafka, or you could be mekadish from any kli shares. If you say like the sheet of the Rambam in the Sefer HaChinuch, that there's a mitzvah lechachila to dafka, you use the kior, so you have to do the kiddush harishon of the day, then dafka from the kior, because it's ma'akiv the avoda lechachila, meaning that you have to do it from the kior. But if you hold that by the other kiddushim, which are not makiv the avoda, so you wouldn't have to do it from the kiyor necessarily. You could be mekadesh even from other kli shares, and that's why they would use kiton shel zav. But if you say like shitas hatosvos that there's no mitzvah at all of kiddush min hakiyor dafka, so then you could do even the first kiddush, the one that's ma'akev, the first kiddush yadayim braglayim, that's ma'akev the whole day's avoda. Even that would be able to be done from the kiton shel zav mishum kvodo shel kohen gadol. Okay, so that's what the machlokas is totally on according to Rabbi Yochum Fishel Perlau. Two machlokas in that relate to each other. B'chol yom hayu sham arba ma'arachos. Now the rest of the daf pretty much discusses the different fires on top of the Mizbeach. So we had multiple shitos in the Mishnah, how many fires there were on the Mizbeach, typically on a regular day, were there two, three, or four, three different shitos, but definitely on Yom Kippur, there was an extra one. So there were either three, four, or five on Yom HaKippurim. So Tan Rabban, b'chol yom shtayim ma'arachos, v'yom shalosh. And every other day there were two, Yom Kippur there were three. Achas ma'arach gdola, v'achas ma'arach shiyosh l'ktores. So the two typical ones that we had every other day was the Maracha Gedola, the large logs and large fire that they had, and the Maracha Shnei Shel Ketores, the second that they would get the coals from which they would burn the Ketores on. Va'achash Musivim Bo B'Yom Div Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda, and there was one extra one Yom Kippur, so it's two or three according to Rabbi Yehuda. Those are the two during the rest of the year, three on Yom Kippur. Rabbi Yosi Omer B'Chol Yom Shalosh V'Yom Arba. He says no, the rest of the year there were three on Yom Kippur, there were four. Achash Maracha Gedola, Va'achash Maracha Shnei Shel Ketores. What's the extra one he adds? There's an extra fire of Kiyuma Eish, that if the Eish of the Maracha Gedola is weakening, we would have another fire to go, that to feed the fire of the Maracha Gdola. Rabbi Yomer, or Rabbi Meir Yomer, depending on the Girsa, b'chol yom arba v'yom chamesh. Now, typically they would have four, on Yom Kippur they would have five. Achash Maracha Gdola, v'achash Maracha Shnei Shachtaris, v'achash al kiyam ha'esh, v'achash le'evarim u'pedar mishlonus achlu mi'be'erev. And then there was an extra one for the evarim u'pedarim that were not, that did not get consumed on the previous day. So that was the extra fire. V'achash musifim bo b'yom. And then an extra one for Yom HaKippur. Now the Ramban writes that Rav Meir holds that you need a pious miyuchad who's going to bring the Evarim u'Pedarim that were not Nesachal Mibarev. So that's meaning the Ramban understands that when he says there's an extra fire for it, it means that it's that chashuv, that the idea of bringing up the Evarim u'Pedarim that didn't get consumed in the previous day is such a chashva avoda that you would even need a special pious to determine who gets to do that. That gets its own fire, it gets its own pious. That's how chashuv it is. That's how the Mishnah Melech explains the Ramban, that the whole machlok between Rav Meir and the Rabbanan, whether you need a special maracha for the Evarim u'Pedarim that are not Nesachal, is whether it's an avodah chashuva. If it's an avodah chashuva, it gets its own fire, and if it gets its own fire, it gets its own pious. If it's not an avodah chashuva, so to reburn the stuff that wasn't burnt yesterday, so it's not an avodah chashuva, it doesn't get its own fire, and doesn't get its own pious. The Meiri says, no, the reason that Rav Meir holds it needs a separate fire is because you're not allowed to mix karbonos of today with karbonos of yesterday. So that's why you need a separate fire. Not about avodah chashuva, it's just you shouldn't mix yesterday's karbonos with today's karbonos. But anyway, to kuli almamiyas tarti yisluhu minalan. Everyone seems to agree that the baseline is that every single day you at least have the Maracha Gdola and Maracha Shnei Shel Ktaris. That those basic two fires, everyone agrees you always have on the Mizbeach. Where does that come from? Where do we learn that from? So Amar Kral, Pasuk says, He ha'ola al mokta al mizbeach kol ha'layla, zu Maracha Gdola. That refers to the Maracha Gdola. Ve'esh ha'mizbeach tu kadbo, zu Maracha Shnei Shel Ktaris. That refers to the Maracha Shnei Shel Ktaris. So we have two phrases in the Pasuk to tell me about the two basic fires. Rabbi Yossi kiyuma esh minale. Great. So where does Rabbi Yossi get the third fire that you add to the mizbeach on each and every day? Nafkalei mi ve'esh al mizbeach tukad bo. He learns it from ve'ha'esh al mizbeach tukad bo. Rabbi Yehuda, what's Rabbi Yehuda going to say to that? Rabbi Yehuda doesn't have a third fire on the mizbeach. What's he going to learn from ve'ha'esh al mizbeach tukad bo? Ha'hu latza salis ha'huda asa. He uses that to teach us to light splinters of wood to throw onto the Maracha Gdola to keep the fire going. But it's not about a third bonfire that was burning on top of the Mizbeach. How do I know that those splinters of wood should be lit on top of the Mizbeach? Tamalomar v'ha'esh al ha'mizbeach tukad bo. So he uses exactly that phrase in the Pasuk from where Rabbi Yossi learns a third Maracha. Rabbi Yehuda learns that no, it's just referring to lighting a few splinters of wood to keep the Maracha Gedola going. Amar Rabbi Yossi, minayin shosam Maracha l'kiyum ha'esh. So Rabbi Yossi says, how do I know that we make a Maracha for the kiyum ha'esh, that it's not just lighting splinters, but there's actually a third Maracha for the sake of feeding the Maracha Gedola? Tamalomar ve'esh al mizbeach tukad bo. The Pasuk says, ve'esh al mizbeach tukad bo. So says the Gemara, So says the Gemara of Rabbi Yossi, Atzos Alisa Minalei, where does Rabbi Yossi learn that we would light splinters on top of the Mizbeach? So Nafkele, Mehecha de Nafkele, the Rabbi Shimon, he'll learn it from the same place Rabbi Shimon learns it from. Titania, the Brisa explains, Menosu Menaron HaKoyin Eish al Mizbeach, Limit Atzos Alisa Shalotei Ela B'Koyin Kosher U'B'Kli Shari Stiv Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that Pasuk teaches us that the lighting of these splinters should only be done with a Koyin Kosher and with Kli Shari's. You need a pasuk to tell me that it should only be done by a kohen kosher. Would you ever have a hava mina that a zar can go by the mizbeach anyway? So of course it can only be done by a kohen. What's the hava mina? Must be teaching me that it has to only be done on the Rosh Hashanah Mizbeach, because otherwise that's the Chiddush. That's the Chiddush by saying that a Zar can't do it, because a Zar can't go Berosh Hashanah Mizbeach. Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda would say, Ime hasam hava mina kayara va'avir b'mafucha. No, if that was the source, maybe it's not about a Zar going up on the Mizbeach. The reason a Zar can't do it is not because he can't go on the Mizbeach. Maybe the Zar is standing on the floor and throwing it up onto the Mizbeach. So Kamash Mlan, therefore it has to tell me that you need a Kohen to do it, even though technically it could have been done from the floor next to the Mizbeach. Rabbi Meir, Evarim u'Pedarim Shlonu Sachlum Be'erev Minalei. Now Rabbi Meir added an extra fire, a fourth fire. So far we explained Rabbi Yehuda's basic two. We explained Rabbi Yossi's extra one to feed the Maracha Gedola. What about this fourth fire that Rabbi Meir added each and every day, that Rabbi Meir said was there each and every day, to burn the Evarim u'Pedarim from yesterday's Karbanos that didn't get burnt properly? Where does he learn, where does he see that there exists this fourth fire each and every day? So nafkale mi v'esh. He learns it from the word v'esh, the vav in v'esh. V'rabanan vav lo darshi. All the people who argue in Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi would say that vav is not enough to make a drasha out of. You can't learn an extra fire from the word vav. Yeah, but what did Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi hold they would do with the old limbs from yesterday's Kabanos that didn't get burnt? Rabbi Meir has a special fire for them to burn the limbs that didn't get entirely burnt from the day before. If you don't have a special fire for them, where would you put them? What would you do with these limbs? So they would say that you put it back into the Maracha Gedola. It doesn't get its own fire, but it does have to get reburnt on the Mizbeach. So put it into the Maracha Gedola and then it will be fine. How do we know, the Brisa says, that if you have Evarim u'Pedarim that were not totally consumed the previous day, that you arrange them on the Mizbeach, and if the Mizbeach is not large enough to hold them, because there's too much else going on the Mizbeach, you at least put them on the ramp of the Mizbeach, or the Sovev of the Mizbeach, until you get the Maracha Gedola going, and then you put them on the Maracha Gedola to burn them. So you see that it's going to Maracha Gedola. Tamalamar Shatochale Eish Asa'ola Ala Mizbeach. So you see from this Brisa that that's where they would go. That if you hold like Rabbi Yossi, you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, that they didn't have a special fire to burn yesterday's limbs that didn't get entirely burnt, that they would still burn it. They would burn it on the regular Maracha Gedola. Now it happens to mention in the Brisa parenthetically that in the meantime, what would they do with these limbs? They would put them on the ramp or on the Sovev. Why dafka the ramp or the sovev? Why not just bring them down? Or why not on the yesod of the mizbeach or something like that? The yesod is like the bottom amma that goes around two sides of the mizbeach, a little more than two sides of the mizbeach. The sovev is higher up. It's between the five amma section and the three amma section of the mizbeach. So the Tosus points out, aval gabi yesod lo dimkein hayinifsal belina im yarad. Aval sovev shumichatim mizbeach l'mala hareu kemizbeach ve'ein lina moel es proshu shal mizbeach v'chein kevesh. He says the sovev and the kevesh of the mizbeach have a din of me'ala mizbeach. There's no psulina. Something is not considered to have been left overnight and therefore become pasul when it's on the mizbeach, when it's on top of the mizbeach. But the yesod ha-mizbeach is not called ala mizbeach. It's not called on top of the mizbeach. That's the base, that's the bottom of the mizbeach. Only somewhere high up, or that which leads to high up on the mizbeach, like the ramp, is considered to be on the mizbeach. He also suggests that maybe Isser Yeshlo Rido min ha-mizbeach, maybe it's not only a din in psulina, there's also a din that there's an isser to be morid the limbs from the mizbeach. What does it mean to be morid? It means to bring it further down than the sovev or the kevesh. To bring it down to the yisod would be to be morid it from the mizbeach. But either way, whether you say like the first way of the from a psulina perspective, or you say it from a yerida perspective, apparently from Tosos we see that the yisod of the mizbeach, even though it's part of the mizbeach, it's not as much mizbeach as the sovev is. I don't know where else this comes up, but it's an interesting idea that even though the mizbeach is one structure, the yisod of the mizbeach somehow doesn't have the full dine mizbeach like the sovev and the kevesh of the mizbeach. I would have thought the kevesh doesn't have as much dine mizbeach. It's just the way to get up there. It's the hechitimtza. But the yisod is part of the actual mizbeach structure. But no, it also assumes that the ramp and that the sovev are very much the mizbeach. The yisod, not so much. Back in the Gemara, Rameir yikuli ola atamachsir, v'yatamachsir yikuli k'toris. Rameir would say that what we darshan from the pasuk is from Asher Tochel Eishes HaOla Al Mizbeach is to teach us that you only put back in the fire the parts of carbon ola that didn't get burnt, but not ketores that was unburnt. The Tanya of Chanan ben Minyumi Rabbi b'debei Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov asher tochal ha'eshes ha'ola ala mizbeach ikule ola atamachzu v'yatamachzu ikule ketores. The pasuk is there to teach me that it's only parts of a carbon ola that weren't burnt that we returned to the mizbeach, but not ketores that went unburnt. That we do not return to the mizbeach. Fine, so far we explained why Rabbi Yehuda holds there are only two fires each and every day, Rabbi Yossi has a third fire, Rabbi Meir has a fourth fire. We have not yet explained the extra fire for Yom HaKippurim. That everyone agreed to. To Kuli HaMamiyas Mosifin Baba Yom Islahu. Everyone agreed there is an extra fire for Yom Kippur that's burnt on the Mizbeach. Minalahu, where do they all get that from? That's everyone agrees to. So Nafgalu Mi Viha Esh. They learn it from the extra Vav and Hey in Viha Esh. So since the pasuk says Viha Esh in the context of Yom Kippurim, so that's how we know that it's to add an extra fire. Vafilu Man to Lo Darish Vav, and even if you hold, you're not going to darshan Vav, because after all, the fourth fire we learned from the extra Vav, and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda rejected it because they said we don't darshan Vav, but Vav Hey Darish. Everyone darshans a Vav and a Hey. The combination of those two letters is certainly enough to darshan. Eish Tamid Lamai Asa. What does Eish Tamid come to teach me? Mi Bai Leilich D'Tanya. Those words come to teach me what the following Brisa says. Eish Tamid Tukar Lamizbeach Lo Sichbe. Limir Al Maracha Shniyah Shal Ketores Lo Tei Ela Al Mizbeach Achitzav. That teaches me that the Maracha Shniyah Shal Ketores has to be burnt on the large Mizbeach Achitzav, not on the smaller Mizbeach HaPnimi. We'll actually burn the Ketores on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, but the Mizbeach Achitzav is where the coals are made, from which we're going to burn the ketores. Eish machta umenorah minayin. How do I know that the eish that they would take a shovel full of coals from to burn the ketores lefnai v'lefnim on Yom HaKippurim, and that the eish that they would light the menorah from, how do I know that that has to be taken from the top of the Mizbeach HaChitzon as well? Meaning, when they would burn the ketores on Yom HaKippurim, lefnai v'lefnim, as we learned from the Mishnayos, we've already learned sugyas about this, they would take the coals to burn that ketores with the shovel from the Mizbeach HaChitzon. Not only that, when they would light the menorah, they would take the eish from the Mizbeach HaChitzon. How do I know that? So v'dinu. Nemra eish b'ketores, it says eish in the context of ketores, v'nemra eish b'machto b'menorah. And it says eish in the context of the shovel of coals and the menorah. So mala alon al Mizbeach HaChitzon, afkan al Mizbeach HaChitzon. So just like by the ketores, it's clearly from the Mizbeach HaChitzon, so too by the special ketores of Yom Kippur, and by the menorah, it's also from the Mizbeach HaChitzon that we get the fire. Where does it say eish by ketores? So Rashi points out it doesn't. It never says eish by ketores. It says yaktirena. And how else do you think you maktir things? It's only with eish, which is very strange. So Tos points out, no, it does say eish by ketores, but not by a ketores that we're thinking of, by the ketores of Korach. By Korach it says ata va'aron ish machtaso, and it says utnu behen eish. So that's where the word eish comes up in the context of ketores. Not talking about avodas beis hamigdash. It's talking about the whole maisa with the face off between Aaron and Moshe versus Korach. So okol chol derech zur. Maybe one could have suggested otherwise. Nemre eish b'ketores v'nemre eish b'machto menorah malalon b'samachlo af machto menorah b'samachlo. How do I know to learn from the comparison between the ketores and the machto menorah that it has to come from the top of the mizbeach hachitzon? Maybe it's teaching me that it should just come from the closest available thing, and therefore it shouldn't be from the mizbeach hachitzon, because the menorah and lefnai v'lefnim, the ketores of Yom Kippur, are closest to the mizbeach hapnimi. So maybe that's where the eish should come from. So tamalomer eish tamed tukal mizbeach lo sichbe eish tamed shamarti lach lotei al broshes al mizbeach hachitzon. The eish tamed, it has to come from an eish tamed. Where is there an eish tamed? That's only on the mizbeach hachitzon. Lamanu eish lemenorah eish lemachta minayin. Great, that teaches us for the menorah, but how do I know for the machta that we would bring lefnai v'lefnim? So v'dinhu nemre eish b'machta v'nemre eish b'menorah malalon al gab mizbeach chitzon afkan al gab mizbeach chitzon. It says eish in both contexts, so just like by the menorah, it's from the mizbeach chitzon, the machta as well. O kol chol derech zu, or maybe you could have said otherwise. Nemre eish b'ketores v'nemre eish b'machta malalon b'samachlo afkan b'samachlo. Maybe it's from that which is closest to it. So maybe you should learn to take it from the mizbech apnimi. Tamalomer v'lokach mla machta gachle eish me'al mizbech milufnei Hashem. Ezu mizbech shemuksasal lufnei Hashem vein kula lufnei Hashem. Which is the mizbech where you could describe part of it as being lufnei Hashem, but not all of it, meaning only part of it is directly across from the Pesach that goes into the Heichal. Not all of it is. Haviomer ze mizbech hachitzon. That's the mizbech hachitzon. The mizbech apnimi is entirely inside. The mizbech hachitzon is outside, and only part of it is directly across from the Pesach. And we need both phrases, me'al mizbech and milufnei Hashem. Dikas rachmana me'al mizbech havamina my mizbech apnimi. If it just were to say mizbech, I would think it means the inner mizbech. Chas rachmana milufnei Hashem. Dikas rachmana milufnei Hashem havamina dafka milufnei Hashem. Av mehagi samagi say malo. And if it would have said milufnei Hashem, I would have thought it can only be brought from that part of the mizbech that's directly across from the Pesach. But the parts in the mizbech that are a little bit off to the side, I would have thought not so. So tzricha, that's why it has to say Me'al HaMizbech. Okay, Hashem will pick up from there tomorrow.